Hello, and welcome to show number 2525 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
I am a huge believer in the mind and what's possible. I think that if we really harness the power of our minds, we can push ourselves physically, emotionally, intellectually beyond what we previously may have thought possible.
And in today's episode, we'll see how that kind of attitude can make a big difference in someone's life.
On today's show, we'll be talking about how one person rebuilt his life after vision loss. We'll talk with Tanner Gears, who you may remember from last week's episode, a Paralympic athlete and founder of Accessibility Officer, about his journey from a life-changing injury in which he went totally blind to empowering other blind individuals through employment, digital access, and inclusive athletics like Beep Baseball. Before we get on with the rest of this show, we have a request for our listeners for some input into another show we want to do this summer.
We're planning an upcoming episode talking about the challenges that visually impaired people have when moving into a new home. You know, we've all walked into walls, we've probably lost things that we moved, and we've all been there, right? So if you want to share some of your experiences, you can send your comments to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net, and you can either send it as a text file that we'll read or an audio file that we might play. And let us know whether it's okay to use your name. So we're looking forward to your feedback. Thanks in advance.
And now, here's our tip of the week for this week. This week's tip comes from Tanner Gears.
I used to have a nutrition and fitness business that did decent, and I would sell coaching and consulting programs. And I think that the best thing that anyone can do with regards to nutrition, fitness, or sports is to actually just do one thing to move you forward today. So when I was first trying to get started playing Beep Baseball, I only drank Mountain Dew, no water, no nothing. And then I was like, you know, maybe I could cut out the breakfast Mountain Dew. And then eventually I cut out the lunch Mountain Dew. And then I cut out the dinner Mountain Dew. And so what's one thing that you can do from a nutrition, a health, a fitness, or a sports perspective? What's one thing you can do to really move yourself forward? That's, I think, is the best tip.
I've always felt that the best exercise for any individual is the one they enjoy, because that's the one they'll actually do.
Amen to that. If I wasn't driven by sports, I would probably be a couch potato.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
Biped AI, the Swiss startup behind Noah, an all-in-one mobility tool worn on the shoulders. Noah provides audio GPS instructions, detects obstacles, and describes surroundings in real time using its live AI feature. More information is available at biped.ai.
And by
First Aid for the Blind, teaching blind and vision-impaired clients important life skills through live video training from blind instructors. The purpose of FAFTB's training is to replace the fear of the unknown with feelings of hope and confidence. More information is at FAFTB.com.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Let's start by meeting Tanner.
In last week's episode, we talked with Tanner Gears, the CEO and co-founder of the organization called Accessibility Officer. This is an organization whose mission it is to train visually impaired people to be eligible for jobs, testing, digital accessibility, and then eventually find them jobs. In this week's episode, we'll be talking with Tanner about some more aspects of his life. So So Tanner, in case people didn't catch that episode last week, maybe you can remind our listeners who you are and what you do.
Oh, thanks so much, Pete. Appreciate you allowing me to be here. My name's Tanner Gears. I was an all-American kid growing up. I was born in Louisiana. Today, I live in Phoenix, Arizona. And I chased girls, played sports, and was super bored in school. Yeah. And then all of that changed when I woke up in the hospital totally blind from an auto accident at age 21. And then I found Sports for the Blind about 4 years later, beat baseball. And then, like you hinted at earlier, in the during the 9 to 5-ish time frame, I'm a CEO and co-founder at Accessibility Officer.
And give us a quick overview once again of what Accessibility Officer does.
We're a digital accessibility company providing vocational rehabilitation job training for digital accessibility. So our vision is the U.S. disabled unemployment rate should be the same as the U.S. unemployment rate. In order for us to do that, we got to get a lot of blind people jobs. And so our philosophy is, hey, you get trained, you get certified, you get a job. You come through our training program, you earn the certifications, you get a job, a paid employment position at Accessibility Officer doing digital accessibility testing. That's our model.
And for listeners who are interested in learning more, you can rewind to last week's episode to hear all about that.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is Tanner Gears' personal journey from a life-changing accident in which he lost his vision to a successful life and career, made possible in part through his being able to find athletics activities to participate in.
So Tanner, this week we want to talk to you about the rest of your life outside of your organization. And as you said, you grew up fully sighted until you had a serious accident in your early 20s. What were your dreams in life before the accident that left you totally blind?
That's a good question. You know, I was when I was in middle school, I lived in Houston, Texas, and they started playing tackle football in seventh grade. And I was sold early on the dream that a white guy with moderate genetic ability could play college football. And I just like fell in love with that. Then when I moved to Arizona, just before starting high school, we lived in the middle of like kind of in the middle of nowhere. The school district that I was at didn't even have a high school. And so this coach showed up one day and said, hey, you know, they did an announcement, had a little meeting. Hey, anybody wants to play football in high school? Come to this meeting. So I did. And this guy's like, hey, if you want to come play football, you want to win, you come play for me. And so I did. I took the bus 20 minutes in every day to go to this high school, played football. I stopped playing other sports, particularly baseball and soccer, to focus on football. And when that was over my senior year, I started playing lacrosse and then ended up playing lacrosse at Arizona State University. Yeah, that was my sports career before I lost my sight.
So you were really into sports even at a pretty young age all through your youth. So this car accident that left you totally blind must have been pretty devastating at the time.
Sports was how we fit in. My brother and I were 13 months apart, and we lived in a lot of different places, like more places than we had grades, like first grade, second grade, third grade. So like Lafayette, Louisiana, Milton, Louisiana, other places around there, Houston, Texas, Mobile, Alabama, Jacksonville, Florida, Orlando, Florida, Anaheim, California, Tucson, Arizona. And that was all before I started high school.
Wow.
So we were always the new kid, and sports was the baseline for how we would make friends.
So how did this accident change your life immediately after the accident? Did you think you might not be able to participate in sports anymore or what?
Oh man, sports was over. Like my life was over. It was like, I mean, not just sports, like my life is what I felt like. Like that it was hopeless, meaningless, worthless. Like I was barely a high school graduate. I have severe attention deficit. I couldn't read past the seventh grade. I'm diagnosed hearing impaired in high school. I have these other disabilities, but I never felt like my life was over until I woke up totally blind. Like I could handle that other stuff. I really couldn't handle this. And I'll never forget this day when I'm recovering and I'm really banged up. I didn't even know if I was going to live for another year after the accident. It was March 28th, 2004. And I found out I was going to live in February of 2005. So during that time frame, I'm at my mom's house and I'm in the closet and I'm digging around looking for something. And I stumble across this piece of leather, you know, pull it out. Immediately, I realize it's my old baseball glove. I throw it on, pretend like I'm grabbing the ball out of the air and crow hop and throw the guy out at home plate. Like I did 1,000 times as a kid. And I took the glove off and literally told myself out loud, this part of your life is over.
So after the accident, you thought life was over, but we know that life continued on for you, both in sports and in your career. What got you over the hurdle to say, gee, I don't have to stay in this funk forever?
Well, I think just realizing as difficult as it is, it could always be worse. And, you know, when I was after the accident, I was basically Skeletor. I was hooked up to this IV pole all the time. I had a ton of surgeries, 4 brain surgeries. I had just medications at the wazoo and constant pain. I'm in pain all the time. And my dad said, I don't know what it means to be blind, but I do know that you could be blind and you could be in a wheelchair. As a matter of fact, you should be. You could be blind in a wheelchair and mentally you should be a vegetable. Tanner, you should be dead. And for a lot, that would probably feel like someone kicking you while you're down, right? Not really embracing what you're feeling in that moment. But for me, it was exactly what I needed to hear because he's right. Like I have my hands, my feet, I can walk, I can talk, I can still do things. Like, yeah, I'm blind. Yeah, it sucks. But if I'm going to create something with my life, it's going to be up to me to do it. No one's going to give it to me.
So with all of these major, major problems, I mean, you described 4 brain surgeries and being in the hospital for months and months and months. You really thought being blind was your worst problem?
Yeah, I mean, totally. It was so much so that I wanted to commit suicide. Like I thought death would be easier than blindness. I discriminated against myself.
And what got you to realize that blindness isn't that bad? I mean, it sure beats being dead.
I volunteered for Easter Seals as a kid. I was around people with severe disabilities, you know, people who couldn't walk, people who were limited to power chairs, people who had difficulty articulating themselves, communicating verbally. So being around people with disabilities wasn't anything new to me, but I'd never met a blind person before. And so when you live in a sighted world and everything that you know about your independence is rooted in the ability to see where you're going, yeah, you think it's over.
But obviously your mindset changed.
Totally. Yeah. Like, you know, my dad said it could always be worse and maintaining that perspective, like it could always be worse. And then being exposed, like, oh my gosh, there's other blind people. Oh my gosh, there's blind attorneys and accountants and entrepreneurs. And success is possible.
And what were the first successes that you started seeing? You didn't just jump out of your chair and say, okay, I'm going to go play sports and get myself a job. What was the first indication that things were getting better for you and you could do these things?
Well, and just to be clear, I didn't know what vocational rehabilitation was when I decided to enroll in school. And I didn't even know that I was going to survive. Before I found out that I was going to live, I enrolled in school because I knew that it's going to be up to me. I didn't want to waste any more of my life, even if it's a short one. And I didn't know what JAWS was. I didn't know how to use a computer. I never touched a white cane before, and I enrolled into school. So March 28th, 2004, that was my accident. In August of 2004, I was enrolled into school. February 2005, I found out I was going to live. I immediately enrolled into the Independent Living Center and learned how to do basic stuff, white cane, Braille, et cetera, JAWS. I graduated from that, enrolled, got my guide dog in July 2005, enrolled into school full-time at the University of Arizona. At the end of that year, in May of 2006, I applied for my first job and got it.
Wow.
So I was so lucky. I got fired July 7th, 2010. And that's when I really felt the pain of a blind job seeker.
What was your first job?
It was at a call center doing a Medicare Part D appointment setting.
And then you said you got fired, and so you had to do something else.
That's right. I had to do something else. And I was already picking up on the discrimination that happens in employment at the job because I was crushing it, Pete. Like, this was a performance-based call center where pay is based on performance, incentives are based on performance. And I was the first, there was other people that used screen readers. I called it the disability corner, that were there before I got hired. No one had ever made performance pay increases. I was the first one to do it. There's two standards, B and A standard. I was the first one to make B. I was the first person to make A. I was the first person to make employee of the month based on performance. I did it twice. And so I got pay raises. And then when I applied for the team lead position, they're like, no. I'm like, why? Like, I crushed this. Yeah, you can do the job and you do it great. We just don't think you can do it for a team.
You know, we have heard so many stories where people who were totally qualified for whatever position just couldn't find a hiring manager who was open-minded enough to give them the chance. It's like, you're blind. I don't know how I would do the job if I couldn't see. Therefore, you can't figure out how to do it either.
Exactly. It's fear. And I think that's why I discriminated against myself when I was first blind, why I thought it was so helpless, hopeless, worthless, was because I discriminated against myself. I didn't know. But, you know, coming back to the sports side of it, like, that was where I had, it was like gas on my motivational pilot light, right? Like, this is where the playing ground is even. This is where I'm free. This is where my effort can be illustrated on the field. And there's no favoritism. There's no discrimination. It's like maybe the umpires, but the game is the game. And how well you prepare for it, that typically determines the outcome. And in the other part of, like, quote unquote, the real world, like in employment and in social circles and even in my family, right? Like, the effort and what you did, the outcomes weren't causation. They might be correlated, but there was no causation.
That's an interesting point. You don't have to put up with people's biases in the sports world. It is what it is.
Scoreboard. That's all that matters.
So you started participating in more sports then. Tell us about some of those experiences.
So I started playing beat baseball, fell in love with that. And then this guy, Dave DeWeese, heard about me and approached me and said, hey, have you ever thought about throwing the javelin? I was like, no way.
Oh, that's what I want. I'm pretty open-minded, I think, but having a blind person throw a long, heavy, pointed stick maybe wouldn't be my first choice.
It's like Spartans, here we go, Romans, we're throwing spears. Yeah, and so pretty stressful if you've ever thrown it. It's very hard on the body, so I put that down. But that was when I got the idea of, like, oh my gosh, like, if we can throw spears, like, what else can we do? So that's when I first kind of got into the Paralympic thing. I started to play goal ball. I started to do track cycling, track and field. So, like, the 100-meter and the long jump. And even I was trying discus and shot put and just having a really great time doing all these sports. I tried swimming. I'm more of a rock. I kind of sink. Skiing, alpine skiing, cross-country skiing. When I'm doing sports, I just feel so liberated, so much less restriction on my life.
Well, any kind of exercise in general just, you know, gets those endorphins flowing and really makes you feel good. But in addition, as you said, you know, you're competing on a level playing field, and it's one person against another or one person against nature.
That's right. That's right. I think there's like, I do these like exercises, these like what they call extreme isometrics and these super maximal eccentrics, which is basically a test of mental strength more than it is physical. It is definitely physically demanding, right? But in these isometric holds, for example, like if I'm holding a lunge in a static position at the bottom of the lunge, like how long can you hold that? And then your body starts to shake, right? And then you're just like mentally fighting through. And then what happens is people want to stand up. And technically, if you stand up, you've demonstrated the force, more force than what's needed to hold you in that position. And so you could have held it longer. And so that's one of the things I love about sports is like, it's not just about physical, but mentally. Who are you?
I'm guessing a lot of sports, particularly when you're competing at the higher levels, is mental to a large degree, as you point out.
There's a kid that I played. He was my best friend in high school, and we played football together, and he played every play. And I remember looking at him across the huddle, like a purplish hue coming up from his shoulder pads and his jersey around his neck and his and into his face. And his eyes are so open, and he's, you know, bent over, just like breathing crazy. And I was like, visibly, I was like, whoa, you know, and he's mentally, literally pushing himself to the limit. I think about that a lot.
You make it sound like training to be a Navy SEAL.
I am a huge believer in the mind and what's possible. I think that if we really harness the power of our minds, we can push ourselves physically, emotionally, intellectually beyond what we previously may have thought possible.
Well, and it sounds like in a lot of your story and your journey through life, you've really used that power to a large degree. When you were suddenly blinded and didn't know what to do, thought life was over, your reaction was, well, okay, maybe it's not over. Let me do what I need to do to get on my feet again. And you started learning some blindness skills. After that was under your belt, you started learning what it took to get a job. And you went on and on, one step at a time, worked hard at your jobs.
Don't get me wrong. There was a lot of effort. But I am so lucky, everybody that's listening to this, I am so flipping lucky, like so lucky. I like thank God, I thank my lucky stars, I thank the universe all the time because I know how lucky I am. I know that if I'm in the same position and I'm in India, if I'm in the same position and I'm in Nicaragua, if I'm in the same position and I'm in some third world country, my life is over. And everybody listening to this, in a developed nation, you are so incredibly lucky, so incredibly blessed to not have the same limitations as some other people. The opportunity is ours.
Well, what a great attitude, and it sounds like it served you very well through life.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about Tanner Gears' company, Accessibility Officer, or how to contact the company or Tanner himself.
Well, Tanner, if people wanted to connect with your organization, maybe you can remind us of the name of it and how they can find your organization to foster employment and training for blind individuals.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to connect with me for work purposes, digital accessibility, the best place to do that is accessabilityofficer.com. We're on social media everywhere, LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook. And then my last name is G-E-R-S. I'm on all the social channels at Tanner Gears, G-E-R-S. And if you go to accessibilityofficer.com, there's a vocational rehabilitation link right there that shares our programs for how we help people get hired or get a job in digital accessibility. You can fill out the form. You just click, you know, you want to, you know, fill out that form, and that'll come to me and I'll get back to you.
We've been talking a lot about your involvement in sports in this week's episode. If somebody wanted to reach you to discuss that, how would they do that?
Oh my goodness. I would so love it, love it, love it. Beat baseball, like, I'll see again one day, right? And even if I have perfect vision, I will never stop being a part of Beat Baseball. It means the world to me. And if you want to give it a go, if you want to try Beat Baseball, our team, the Bayou City Heat, based in Houston, Texas, we're always looking for new players to join our squad. We've got some new players joining us this year. And of course, we've got one of the greatest pitchers of all time, Fonzie Medrano. He elevates players to new levels. The only reason I've had so much success in this game is that man, Fonzie Medrano. I've been so blessed to be on the All-Star team close to 10 times, MVP 3 times, Hall of Famer. And it's all because of Fonzie Medrano. So we definitely want some new talent. And if you think that playing baseball for the blind might be up your alley, let me know, because we would love to see you on that field.
So you said you live in Phoenix, Arizona, but your Beep baseball team is in Houston, Texas. How does that work?
It's complicated. So I moved to Arizona from Houston. So I have some family there. But yeah, I went and I tried out. So there's no team in Arizona. And so one year I tried out for the Heat, and they had me, and I've been with them almost ever since.
How would somebody reach you?
Yeah, if anybody wants to reach out to me about Beat Baseball, do that directly via email, tanner.gears, G-E-R-S, Golf Echo Romeo Sierra, tanner.gears at accessabilityofficer.com. That's accessibility with two A's, accessabilityofficer.com.
Do you have a social media presence?
Yeah, totally. So Accessibility Officers on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn, we're on YouTube, we're on TikTok. And then Tanner Gears, my last name is four letters, G-E-R-S, Tanner Gears. I'm everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
And of course, you can find all of that information in the show notes with this episode, which is episode 2525, at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be reprising an older episode about Beep baseball. Tanner Gears talked about what a big part of his life that is. And for anybody who doesn't know, we thought we'd tell you. In that show, we speak with Blake Beaudreau and Stephen Guerra of the National Beep Baseball Association about how the game is played, what special equipment is used, and the annual World Series of Beep Baseball.
And Beep Baseball can certainly be a lot of fun. If you want to learn more about it, join us for that episode next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.